Oh, hey guys. Just before we start this podcast episode, right? I forgot to mention one more thing, right? We have to talk about the incident of people being shoved into front of oncoming trains. That's something that I realized I forgot to mention while I was putting this podcast episode together. Now, for those of you who don't know, right? Back in earlier this month, right? 40-year-old Michelle Lissago was shoved in front of an incoming southbound R train at Times Square 42nd Street. Her death made MTA think about the future installation of train barriers and sliding doors, the ones that we normally see in China. They plan to do the pilot program for these train sliding doors at the First Avenue stop on the L line, the Septon Boulevard Archer Avenue station on the E line, and some and at 34th Street Penn Station on the 7th Avenue line. We have yet to see any action planning on how we can stop people from being pushed into the subways, but my recommendation is to be aware of your surroundings at all times. Be alert, be diligent, and stay away from the platform edge. Seriously, stay away from the platform edge. And with that being said, hope you guys listen to the podcast episode, the final podcast episode of 2022, and enjoy. What up, everybody? I am the Transportation Hub, and welcome to the final Hub Talk podcast episode of 2022, y'all. Yes, I know it's been a long ass while since the last time we talked and conversed on this podcast, on this podcast show. It's because if you guys don't remember, I explained the story on Instagram, and I also did over on my YouTube channel. Over on my YouTube page as well, that back in late September, I had a problem with my external hard drive that got corrupted, and I had to wait like a couple of months. I had to wait like for a couple of weeks for me to buy a whole new external hard drive for me for you know to get myself done and progress and whatever you, but don't worry because I'm gonna get all my files extracted from that corrupted hard drive, and I'm gonna recover all those files. I'm gonna get it cleaned up, and things will be back up and running smoothly again for the year of 2023. Now, with that out of the way, right? Where do I begin? Because we had so many things that happened this year. You know, 365 days came and went just like that. The whole 12 months. All right? So I'm gonna start from late last year. Late last year, right? The MTA approved the final plan for the Bronx Bus Redesign Network. And the final plan didn't get implemented until June 26, 2022, on a Sunday. All right, so if you know, I'm gonna get back to that in full detail about that later. Now, in January, right? Let's see, the final run of the R32s happened. Yes, punk ass bitch, Kenneth Rambert got that ass confronted. And yo, when Kenneth Rambert got confronted, right? He just stood right there silent, not a single word. And people were going off on that ass, as they should. Because if you look back into last year in 2020 and late and from mid to late 2020 as well, if y'all remember from that long, he was out there spreading wildly inaccurate misinformation. He was on there threatening people, He was just out there doing a whole bunch of dumb, crazy shit on the internet, and he got called out for it, and he got confronted for it. Now, y'all remember 1 year ago today, back on New Year's Day, right? Back on New Year's Eve, right? Kenneth Rambert went on YouTube, okay, and said this, and said, oh, doodaloo, good news, breaking news, good news, folks. Betty White died for being a fool at the age of 99. Like, who goes on the internet and say stuff like that? Who goes on the internet and say stuff like that? You know what? And lo and behold, a day or two later, on January 2nd, on the third event on the R30, on the third retirement run on the R32, right? He got confronted, and rightfully so. And that ass got on mute, and it was on full camera, full display. And I believe that the video of him getting confronted on that train is still up. So I don't know. It's still there. And on the Hub Talk Chronicles, I already made 2 episodes of that idiot. Two. Explain everything in full detail what he was doing. If you want, I'm not going to say that, and I'm not going to explain much about that in this podcast episode. If you want to relearn more about Kenneth Rambert and his dumb, idiotic, moronic ass ways, I highly recommend that you scroll through the episodes on the podcast and listen to that there. All right, so that's that, okay? And a whole week later, on January 9th, we officially said farewell to the R32s, right? 600 new Brightliners for a future subway, we said farewell to. And it ran on the queue line. It ran on the queue line as a 2nd Avenue, Broadway Express, Brighton Beach Express between 96th Street, 2nd Avenue, and Brighton Beach, making express stops only. Right? And we all know that Kenneth Rambert's dumb punk bitch ass wouldn't show up to that event because the event was running on the Brighton Beach line, which has always been the home to Q train line. If anybody remember this, right? From the days of the QJ and the QB and from way back and beyond, even back on the 6th Avenue Q train days, we all know that the Q train is the home of the BMT Brighton Beach line, okay? Okay? And the D used to run on Brighton Beach line as well up until July of 2001, when the reconstruction project of the Manhattan Bridge started, and it was just like, what, 2 months before the 9/11 terrorist attacks, right? Right? And the Q and the B and the D was cut back to Manhattan. The Q had a local segment and express segment along the Brighton Beach line. The W train, got extended into Brooklyn on the West End line and things of that nature, right? Right? And when the project was done in 2004, the B and the D swapped lines. The D now runs on the West End line to this very day because the MTA feels like customers and strappers and passengers need to have one seat ride direct service between the concourse and West End lines. That's one. And two, the B train got switched over to the Brighton Beach line, but it got turned into a weekday only route. Okay, running as a Brighton Beach Express route line, right? So the Q train's always been home to the Brighton Beach line. And even if the Q were to permanently run on the West End and D on the Brighton Beach line, right? So dumbass moron Kenneth Rambert claims, right? It's still not gonna make a difference. Because at the end of the day, the Q train's gonna still serve Coney Island and 96th Street 2nd Avenue regardless. It's still not gonna do anything to the Q train line, really. If the Q and the D were to ever switch Southern Brooklyn lines, right? It's still not gonna do anything. Nothing. Yes, that's something we need to know. And of course, you know, some incidents happen. I'm not gonna say the name. If you know, you know. Even though I really don't care for this story really anymore. Yeah. Some 19-year-old boy got arrested for having oral sex with some 14-year-old boy underneath the 9th Avenue lower level bandit station, blah 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 blah. He got charged for forcible touching, sex crimes, rape, all that stuff, blah blah blah, blah blah blah, things of that nature. But the one thing I did not see though was a trespassing charge. It's because this happened in a place or in an area that is inaccessible to the public. So that should have counted as some, you know, as some trespassing charge. Yeah, that should have happened. All right, so that's that. And of course, we witnessed a whole slew of new buses. All right, we have a whole slew of new buses, which is the Nova Bus LFS HEV, the New Flyer, the New Flyer XDE 40s. Yes, the Nova Bus LFS Coneheads and the New Flyer XD 40 with the sleek, slender top. All right, give me 1 second, please. So yes, we got new buses and everything, right? And you know, Jano Lieber, right? Officially by the New York State Senate, right? He officially got approved and appointed Chairman and CEO of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, aka the MTA. He was appointed by Governor Kathy Hochul, and he was approved for that position, for that role of position, by the New York State Senate. All right, so that's that. And we also had new role key leadership positions. Quimel Arroyo is the president of the ADA disabilities for transportation in the MTA. That's number one. And number two, we also had a former executive or CEO of the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, the MBTA. He has switched over from Boston to New York, and he was appointed president of the New York City Transit. All right, and that person was Richard Davey. And I gotta say, for a guy that used to work in Boston, because you already know, us New Yorkers, we do not take kindly to Boston at all in terms of anything, period. We don't take kind to their city, we don't take kind to their lifestyle, we definitely do not take kind to their trifling, straight up cheating ass sports teams. And for those of you who are listening to me saying this, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, so that's that. But I gotta say, for a person that is doing well, for a person that worked for a Boston transit system, he's doing okay. It's not like Babe Ruth or Johnny Damon caliber, because you already know, if y'all follow sports. Especially, I'm not going to talk much to Johnny Damon, because you know what happened in 2004 and one of that. But even though he won a ring with the Yankees in 2009, but I'm not going to get into him. Babe Ruth per se, right? Think of it more as Babe Ruth, right? You know, after, you know, you end up winning five titles or something with Boston, four or five titles with Boston per se, say in the early 1900s or so, right? In the early 20th century, right? And you know, they sold you an half of your ballpark to your rival and made your rival what they are today, right? So think of it more. Think of Richard Davey going from Boston to New York to run New York City Transit right here in New York. Think of it more as Babe Ruth going from the Red Sox to the Yankees. Think of it more like that. Yes, think of it more like that. So that's that. Now, yes, nothing much happened in the month of March, but I will say this. On April the 12th, 2022, right? Some 61-year-old fat blob of a male named Frank James, right? Committed one of the worst terrorist attack in our transportation system to this day, right? So let me tell you how it went down, right? He was coming from Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. No, wait. He was coming from Pennsylvania in a U-Haul truck, right? And that U-Haul truck, right, was spotted just hours before the N-Train incident happened. He was spotted driving in a U-Haul truck on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, right? And then, like, a couple of hours later, right, he was seen trying to squeeze his big, fat, bulbous ass through a turnstile at the Kings Highway N-Train station, okay? Then he boarded a Manhattan-bound N-Train, right? And as soon as the train gets nice and settled and comfy, right, when the train was already underneath a tunnel, right, He lit up this huge smoke bomb, right? He lit up this huge smoke bomb, right? And he started shooting wildly. Now, luckily and thank God that nobody got seriously hurt, and nobody died from this incident. Thank God, hallelujah, thank God, right? But some people end up getting injured, and some people were bleeding, right? And after a whole 30, and after damn near 36 hours after the ordeal, he was caught, apprehended, and arrested in the East Village, or was it the West? I think, in either the East or the West Village section of Manhattan, in a McDonald's. Why? It's because his face was blasted everywhere, all across the internet. So he didn't manage to get far. He didn't manage to get as far as Manhattan. All right. So that's that. He didn't get as far as Manhattan. Okay. And you know, he was arrested and he was held. And he was held without bail, and he's still sitting in jail to this very day. Now, last time we all heard about this guy, right? He was charged with a terroristic act and an act of terrorism in a busy subway system, right? And that can carry a mandatory life sentence, okay? Do y'all remember back in late 2017, this guy, right? He put a pressure cooker in the passageway between Times Square, 42nd Street, Broadway, and 42nd Street, 8th Avenue, Port Authority bus terminal, right? The pressure cooker went off and exploded in the passageway, injuring people. The guy that caused that incident got a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole. In Frank James's case, that's where he's gonna get to. And last time I heard, he pleaded guilty to the charges. But okay, but we'll see later on down the ladders. Let's see what happens to him. Okay, let's see. Oh yes, and y'all remember last year that the R211A subway cars were delivered, right? Well, they underwent a huge frequent testing all over the system, right? Right by the Rockaway Flats, right on the BMT Sea Beach line, right on the curve at the BMT Jamaica line connecting to the East New York yard, the Culver line, the West End line, everywhere, including fast forward to this year, right? Like last month or 2 months ago or so, right? We saw the delivery and the arrival of the R211Ts, which is known as the open gangway subway cars, right? That train, that set is currently undergoing testing as we speak. All right, just to give you a review and a recap, right? The R211 order, you know, it's going to be a base order for both the R211A cars and the R211T cars. Now the option order will determine between either the R211 type that the MTA will want for their option order. So that's that. Now, fast forward to the bus network redesign plans, right? As we all know, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast episode, right? The Bronx bus network redesign plan went into fruition, right? June 26th, right? For the Bronx Bus Network redesign plan, right? We saw that some routes got shortened. We saw some routes that got extended. We saw some routes that swapped corridors and got streamlined. Okay? And we also saw a new bus route that's been created. And it's been doing well so far. Okay? One of the routes that come into question about being streamlined is the BX36 line. You know how the BX36 line used to operate along East 180th Street, then East 174th Street, then Cross Bronx Expressway and all that stuff, right? That bus now runs along Tremont Avenue, while the BX40 and the BX42, on the other hand, ran along East 180th Street between Webster Avenue and Tremont Avenue, okay? Providing connections and access to the accessible East 180th Street 2 and 5 train express stop. Yes, we have yet to see the implementation of the BX6 Select Bus Service, which will be rerouted and extended to serve Soundview instead of Hunts Point because the MTA didn't want to bother ripping off all the SBS fare machines along the Hunts Point vicinity and installing the machines along Story Avenue. It wouldn't make any sense, especially when MetroCards are being phased out and retired and they are being replaced with OMNI, which stands for One Metro New York. So it wouldn't make sense. So it wouldn't make sense for the TA to install SBS fare machines along Story Avenue. They just want to see and wait out the retirement of MetroCards, and that is what they're doing. Oh, and they'll also see some schedule changes involving the BX5 too as well. Okay? So that's that. On March 30th, 2022, right? We have the MTA release their brand new draft plan for the Queens Bus Network redesign plan, right? Right? Okay. Now, I have to say this, right? The 2022 version of the Queens Bus Network redesign plan is 10 times better than the Queens redesign plan that the MTA released back in 2019 before the 15 long month COVID-19 pause due to pandemic. Because you all know, bus network redesign projects were on a pause from March of 2020 all the way to August of 2021. So from spring 2020 to from spring 2020 to summer of 2021, the bus network redesign plan projects were on a long pause. Yeah, and I gotta say this, the 2019 version was trash. It was hot ass trash. It looked like somebody's kid literally took a crayon or whatever and just scribbled on the map. It was like they used a hindsight of Google Maps and just plastered that shit. Like, here, this is your route, boom. And the QT routes, it didn't make any sense. And I'm happy that the MTA managed to use actual routes and the actual letter for the borough and the route numbers, okay, to say, okay, like for example, the Q51, right? The Q51 will be a crosstown select bus service route, which will operate between Cambria Heights, 235th Street, Linden Boulevard, and Gateway Center Mall in Brooklyn. It will run along Linden Boulevard, Rockaway Boulevard, Cross Bay Boulevard, the Belt Parkway, and on its way to and from Gateway Mall. Now, I know that they had it. I know that the MTA had this type of route, the type of routes that they have for the Queens Bus Network, the very first one, but it wasn't explained perfectly and thorough. That's why the first redesign plan got over 11,000 negative feedbacks and had to go back to the drawing board, and they came out with this plan right here. Yes, so we had the four types of routes, which are local, limited stop, rush zone, and crosstown select bus service. Okay, I'm not gonna explain much into that in this video, because if you want to know more about those type of routes, you can kindly go watch my review on the draft plan for the Queens Bus Redesign Network, and you could also watch my recent review on the Brooklyn Local Bus Network Redesign Plan. Thank you. And then, let me see. I'm trying to figure out what else happened here. And then, fast forward. Speaking of bus network redesigns, right? And fast forward back on December 1st, 2022. Okay, before I get to that, right? I just want to talk something real quick. 2022 has also been the year of Subway Surfing, right? Now how many Subway Surfing stories do we have to go into, right? I don't even know where to begin, because I remembered last year, right? I was filming a southbound R179A train that was slated to go to Rockaway Park, right? As I was filming the train, right, and I turned around, right, I saw some kid surfing on the back of the train at High Street, Brooklyn Bridge, yo. At High Street, Brooklyn Bridge. Seriously. Like, who does that? Like, yo, like, who does that? Who does that? Like, who does that? Seriously. Who does that? Seriously. Now, anyways, right? As y'all know, back on June of this year, right? We got news that a caravan of school kids, all boys, of course, because you ain't see no female surfing on no top of no train. You ain't see no female surfing on top of no train, alright? That's one. And two, a whole bunch of caravan of kids, all boys, of course, high school boys, precisely, young men, of course. We're seen surfing on top of a J train on the Williamsburg Bridge. All right, so I don't understand what is so fascinating about these things, all right? And okay, fast forward to August of this year, right? Before that, right? Back in the summertime, right? Some guy was surfing on top of the 7 train. I think it was going to Manhattan, I believe. Manhattan or Flushing, I'm not sure, right? And he hit the horizontal post at the 111th Street station on the 7 line, and his head got busted wide open. Now, luckily, he survived. I heard that he still surfing trains this very day. Like, bro, you people don't understand. Like, y'all people don't get it. And then the following month in September, right? Another kid, right, was surfing on the back of an R train near the Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue station, right? He lost his balance. He slipped underneath the train and he lost his arm in the process. Like, you're kidding me. Who does that? What? Oh. And lo and behold, right? In September, right? When people were celebrating the Mets making it to the postseason, Mets got 101 wins, it was on the 7 line, and all that stuff, right? A caravan of high school boys, right, were seen surfing on top of a Flushing Main Street bound 7 Express train. And I saw some kids, and I saw some boys' video multiple times. And you know what's the funny part? They got what was coming to them because they got the e-brakes pulled underneath them. Not once, but twice, they got the emergency brakes pulled underneath them. And I saw this dude's videos, and you know, these kids be surfing on back of the R train, they surf on back of the 5 train, they surf on top of the 2 and 5 trains up in the Bronx. They surf on top of the 4 train. They break into cabs. They break into the rear cabs, the rear operating cabs. They just do a whole bunch of stupid ass shit. Alright? I'm a grown adult now. I'm in my mid-20s right now. And I've never in my life done anything remotely close or stupid or dangerous like that. Okay? So that's that. So this leads me to a point where subway surfing can take a tragic turn and it can get real, and where it got real ugly real fast. Okay, now, as y'all know, back on December 1st 2022, some 15-year-old boy, I don't even know him, but I knew people who knew him, who are friends with him. So, here it goes, right? Some 15-year-old boy whose name was, if you know, you know. I'm not even gonna say the name, so if you know, you know. Yes, he was, surfing on top of the train alongside with two other people, they were surfing on top of the train. It was on the J train, right? As the J train was leaving Marcy Avenue, heading towards Manhattan on the Williamsburg Bridge, right? The train made a slight right turn on the curve, and those two people got down back on time. But unfortunately, the 15-year-old boy, he was still up there, and you know, he lost his balance. His arm got sliced off. He touched the third rail, got electrocuted, and died on the scene. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible. And, you know, it delayed train service for hours on end. For hours on end. Now I don't wanna judge and be biased about this, because I heard that the 15-year-old boy was peer pressured, you know, and they forced him to surf on the train or whatever. They bullied him to the point where he had to surf on the train, and one of you, blackmail, deception, all that stuff. And my thing is this: listen, I've been in that situation before. Well, I never surf on a train, of course. But I've been in that position where that boy's been. Except for the whole train surfing part, because I've never surfed a train in my life, and nor will I ever surf a train in my life ever. Because people die from that shit. People need to understand this, right? Train surfing is nothing cool or anything of that nature, right? It is a horrible thing. It is a horrible thing to do, okay? Train surfing has been going on since the 80s, okay? And people have died from doing that shit. People have gotten seriously injured or have died doing that shit, okay? I remember back in 2019, right? Some 14-year-old boy was surfing on the 7 train, right? He slipped underneath the train, got crushed and died. When are you people going to learn that train surfing is horrible? It's horrible. It's not the way to go. And shit, transit needs to start doing a crackdown on kids that are train surfing and what have you. And what have you. Because this is getting extremely ridiculous at this point. Some train surfers have been spotted by the conductor at some point in time. And you know, they get called out. They have to get embarrassed to get called out to come down from the roof of the train, or the train was going to go out of service. Like, seriously, when y'all gonna learn? When are y'all going to learn that train surfing is horrible and you shouldn't be doing that? Seriously. Now, RIP to the 15-year-old boy, who I don't know. But, bruh. But when the news came out, bruh, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about this, and let's just say most of the comments were not so nice at all. All right, they were bashing this boy, going in on him, calling him a whole slew of names and what have you. Let me make one thing clear. Yes, he should not have trained surfed. Okay, it's one thing to be critical and to bash him for train surfing. Yes, fine, but by no means necessary will you ever degrade him, calling all sorts of names or whatever, because we don't even know the whole story and how it really happened. It's not like he was up there by himself. He was up there with two other people, and the two other people that are there with him made it out alive, and he did not. And police still got work to do, because those two kids that were with the 15-year-old boy who lost his life that day needs to be interrogated heavily, because if the things that about what they did turned out to be true, then they're looking for a slew of heavy charges, and they're going to be locked up for a long time, and they're gonna have a hefty long criminal record. Because these are things that you should not be doing. Seriously. Alright, so fast forward to other service, right? Okay, so back in not too long ago, we had four Sundays of IRT Holiday Redbirds that ran on the one line between Chambers Street and 137th Street City College. Alright? And that's that. And the MTA released their plans between 2023 through 2020 no through 2044, and a lot of those include East Side access to Penn, Metro North access to Penn Station, a whole slew of Metro North stations in Queens, a 10th Avenue, 41st Street, 7th train station in Manhattan. And, of course, you got the extension of the 2nd Avenue subway. We have the IBX. Of course, we have the Interboro Express, which is slated to operate between Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, and Jackson Heights, Queens. Okay, now originally it was supposed to go through the Bronx, but mainly because it has to go through the Hell Gate Bridge, which is slated to be used by Metro North trains going to and from Penn Station. The route has been shortened to Jackson Heights. Yes, so that's that. And and the MTA adopted a 2023 budget and a 4-year financial plan where most of the money hopefully is gonna come from state and federal, of course. And luckily last year we managed to pass the Infrastructure Jobs and Investment Act when we had the chance, because since Republicans will be in control of the House of a large margin, I really don't see much progress going on moving forward, but I'm happy that we did what we did. Of course we have the November elections here in the state of New York, where the future of the MTA was hung at the balance. And I'm happy that Kathy Hochul won, because she will help progress MTA, such as our subway systems, our bus network, our rails, and our and our infrastructure here in New York. Fast forward to the 21st century. And I'm glad that she won. For those of you, who've been bashing me and coming at me about Lee Zeldin this and Lee Zeldin that, I'm gonna tell you this right now. Would you ever, do you think a guy like Lee Zeldin cares about anything about the MTA, to be honest with you? No, because he's a Republican. And we all know that Republicans don't care about one shit about anything, okay? Because if you look at Lee Zeldin's record in the House, besides anything has anything to do pertaining with veterans, yeah, he's there for that. You can give him props for that because he's a veteran himself, and that's one thing that I would never take away from him, that he's a vet and he served our country. And he served our country, and that's one thing you have to give credit for. And that's one thing I would never take away from him. But I will be completely critical of this, and that he is not going to do shit in terms of the MTA for the state of New York, because when it's crunch time for the Infrastructure Jobs and Investment Act, he voted no. When it comes to the American Rescue Plan to stop a budget deficit, where we might end up potentially having a fare hike, which we're going to have anyway, and potential service cuts, he voted no for that also. So I really don't see him having the best interest at heart for the MTA. If he never did shit for Suffolk County, what makes y'all think that he's gonna do shit for the state of New York? If he never did shit in the House of Representatives as a New York congressman, what makes y'all think that he's gonna do anything for the state of New York? Come on now. Be logical. Use your brain. Now, and last not least, we have Grand Central Madison. Grand Central Madison for MTA's Long Island Railroad East Side Access is nearing completion. You know, speculation here saying, oh, it's going to open in December 2022. Then say, oh, it's gonna open in 2023. Listen, knowing the MTA, when they say shit's gonna open this month, they really mean next month. Okay, so that's that. So Grand Central Madison probably won't open until sometime in January, but I don't see it really open no later than March, to be honest with you. And I wanna be honest and real with y'all, I don't see Grand Central Madison opening until no later than March. To be honest with you, that's my prediction. And I also forgot to talk to you guys about the Omicron variant outbreak. For those of you who don't remember, right, the Omicron variant outbreak transpired in the month of January, right, which suspended service on the B, W, and Z train lines, which made the D run local in the Bronx entirely throughout that time frame, and the D train had to run local in the Bronx again from July all the way out until the end of this year, or more precisely by the beginning of 2023, due to repairs and network improvements and reconstruction on the IND Concourse Center Express track. Okay? Yes, so the Omicron variant got the B, W, Z train service suspended. Five train service during rush hours is still happening. Six and seven express service was suspended. Yep. Due to lack of availability of the train crew, due to lack of availability by loads of train crew that keeps these trains running, so they had to suspend some service here and there. Okay, and I cannot forget the BMT Jamaica Line reconstruction project that took place between July 1st, 2022, all the way till September 18th, 2022, okay, when J-Train service was suspended between 121st Street and Jamaica Center Process Archer, all right? A whole a temporary bus route had to be created called the J99, all right, which operated between the 121st Street J train station and the Jamaica Van Wyck E train station. E train service was still available at Sumpton and Archer JFK and Parsons Archer. Now, back in 2020, do y'all remember the time when E-Train service was suspended between Jamaica Van Wyck and Parsons Archer, and Long Island Railroad literally cross-honored between Southeast Queens and Penn Station? Y'all remember. I knew y'all remember. Yeah, y'all remember, right? So the E-Train tracks of Parsons Archer had to get repaired first, and then they dealt with the J-Train tracks at Sumpton Boulevard and Parsons Archer. Yes, because y'all now need to remember, Sumpton JFK and Parsons Archer, as well as Jamaica Van Wyck on the E-Train line, opened on December 11th, 1988. Okay? So they've been around for nearly 35 years, believe it or not. In commemoration of their 35th anniversaries of the three station stops, right? I will be doing a station tour at Jamaica Van Wyck, Sumpton Archer JFK, and also at Parsons Archer as well. Okay? So that's that. Okay, and the BMT Jamaica Reconstruction Project, track and signal repair reconstruction project, right? Also has Z Train as well as J and Z skip stop service suspended. Okay, normal service for the J and Z lines resumed on Monday, September 19th, 2022. All right, for those of you who don't know, and this is a fact, right? The Z Train line has been the only subway line to have ever been suspended three times in 2 years. Give me 1 second, y'all. I'll be right. Okay, yes, y'all. Yes. Now, the Z Train line is the only subway line that's been suspended 3 times in 2 years. All right. We have the COVID-19 outbreak. Z Train was suspended for like months on end. We had fast forward to 2022. We had the Omicron variant outbreak. From throughout January, the Z-Train service was suspended. And now there was the BMT Jamaica Reconstruction Track and Signal Reconstruction Project. Z-Train service was suspended throughout most of the summer of 2012. Most of the summer of 2022, sorry. So yes, Z Train service was suspended throughout most of that year. Literally. Okay. And last but not least, and one more thing, right? Hang on. Pretty sure something happened, but 1 sec, y'all. Yes, about electrical repairs on the E&M East River Tunnel that happens every December between Christmas and New Year. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Last but not least, we also had the the completion of the third rail on the LIRR main line, which runs between Floral Park and Mineola. And that's a huge accomplishment right there. And it was done on schedule and on time. And also, we have received an award for $116 million in federal grant for future electric buses. So yeah, here we go. So yeah, that's pretty much it for 2022. Now, what can we look for ahead of 2023? Let me see. Kenneth Rember getting beat up, that's number one. The trolls gonna get shut down. The faggot ass trolls are gonna get shut down once and for all. Put an end to their shit, that's number two. And number three, we're gonna see more new and upcoming new buses. That's number three. That's number four. Number five, the Brooklyn and Queens bus network redesign plans go into full fruition. That's five and six. And seven, Grand Central Madison on the Long Island Railroad becomes a reality. So that is my predictions for the new year. Anyways, I'm going to end here with the final episode of the podcast for the year. Now, if you guys enjoy what you listen to, please make sure to follow the Hub Talk Chronicles wherever you get your podcast episode. Make sure you listen to the Hub Talk Chronicles on a daily basis. Make sure you follow the Transportation Hub on Instagram, like and follow the Facebook page, and subscribe to the Hub on YouTube. So once again, y'all, we are officially signing off for the last time in 2022, and I will see all of you at the next stop in 2023.